The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
The sermon this morning is entitled, appropriately, A Time to Remember. And so, the scripture I've chosen is, there we go, 1 Peter 2:16-17. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the King. And I'll be talking about this scripture a little bit more in a few minutes, but we choose to remember those who provided our freedom because the price of freedom is so high. You know, it doesn't just come in a gift box with a bow ribbon on it. Our freedom is something that is earned, something that's fought for, and something that is established and needs to be maintained. And there's a long column of heroes who paid the price for our freedom, the brave men and women who have stood up for freedom and have fallen. There's a picture in my mind that is many of you have seen. It's a film that has been played countless times around this time of the year of landing craft at D-Day on the beaches of Normandy. And as they drop the gates on the front of those landing craft, a group of men ran out and running up to the beach. And what's startling is that one of those guys, is just as his foot touches the beach, is shot and he falls. And the others run on. And it's just brief. It's not 15 seconds long. But the picture has been immortalized in film and also in so many books about World War II. And every time I see it, I remember that the young man. I have no idea who he is. Nobody's ever said. I don't know if any research was ever done or could be done to find out who he was. But that's the price of freedom. You know, he didn't even get into the battle. Probably a young man, because of World War II's draft and other things and volunteers. He could have been, some snuck in at the age of 16. Most of them were 19, 20, 21, 20. If you were 24 and 25, you were considered old at that time. So someone who lost a life at a very young age. The pulpits have always heralded freedom. That's one of our jobs, to talk about the freedom in Christ, but also here in America to talk about the freedom of our nation. As you well know, that our founding fathers were... The message of freedom was spurred on by the pulpits of America. And I can only imagine the fear and trepidation that were in the signers of our Declaration of Independence. You know, it's not an easy thing to have a group of men in a room and sign a document that was basically their execution notice. And they knew that. Benjamin Franklin said that after they signed it, that we need to hang together, because if we don't, we'll certainly hang separately. And they knew that. In fact, when King George got a copy of the Declaration of Independence, he used that list and put those guys as number one people he wanted captured and killed. So there was a high price to that. And if you read any historic books, which I love to read, from the places like Valley Forge, where an army, a ragtag army, suffered so much. Many of those died. They didn't have food just to eat. Water was lacking. And the cold was so bad. A good portion of the guys at Valley Forge had no shoes. That's how bad it was. They were dying of all kinds of things. But out of that rose up a fighting force that went on to win our independence for us. And it didn't stop there. It went from Valley Forge to places that we had never heard of until just recently, places like Benghazi, people who stand up for freedom and fight for it and give their life. There's a video I want you to see. Title of it is Mansions of the Lord, because it's of a song. It's a little longer than videos that I normally show, but I've seen this before. And Jim, who helps me select these things, when he started playing it last Sunday for me in the back after services were over, I couldn't even watch it. You know? I said, no, just turn it off. I'll just wait and see it next Sunday. So, Jim, if you're ready, if you'd play that video for us, we would appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, it's kind of hard to see that and not be touched. It's such a panoramic view of what freedom cost. That's why some things are sacrosanct, some things you can't touch. That's why you can't take a knee during the national anthem. That's why you can't burn an American flag. No matter what depraved mind interpreting the Constitution might think about it. If I had my way, that video would be shown in every school at least once a year for all the students to see, or something similar to it, so that it might change the tempo of things and people might have a little more respect for not only those who pay the price, but for the gift that they provided for us. So I'd like to take a little time this morning and just talk about those who established our freedom, remember them, and those who sustain it for us. A Time to Remember was founded for a just cause. 1 Samuel 17:45 and 46, David said to the Philistines, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." It's been God's intent from the Garden of Eden to the blood of Golgotha's Hill to the ink of the founding fathers as they signed the Declaration of Independence for us to be free. Sin bound us, gave us a death penalty, and God has always had a plan to set men free. Jesus declared this. The first words that he spoke in as a sermon, if you will, he said, "I've come to set the captives free." David stood, as we just read, and he said, when he saw the pillage and the fear that was rampant in the Israelis' armies, and his brothers were there, and he said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not anyone who will go against this giant, this Philistine, this Goliath, and do something about it?" He said, "Is there not a cause?" And the young David, dressed in the shepherd's clothing with a sling, went forward, as you well know the story, and because of one man, a victory was won that day. See, some things are worth living for, and some things are worth dying for. I'm probably the most peaceable person in this room, maybe. I don't like war. I hate the carnage of war. I hate it. If you haven't done this yet, I know I've mentioned this to you before. There's a movie that I want you to see. It's called Taking Chance. Taking Chance. You can find it on Netflix or Amazon someplace. And it's the story of the pilgrimage of a soldier by the name of Chance, coming home from the battlefield. And it shows the honor that is given to a fallen soldier. You know, we see on the news the doors open up on the airplanes and we see the coffins being rolled off, and we wonder about, you know, what's really going on, who that may be. Excuse me. I can't imagine anybody who would call me at this time of day. God bless you, whoever you are. And it shows the loving care that is taken for a fallen soldier from the battlefield to the final resting place. And it is another one of those things that you must see. If you haven't seen it, put it on your agenda. Find it today or tomorrow, on Memorial Day. I understand the weather's going to be bad tomorrow. You won't have anything to do. Sit in the house. Look up Taking Chance. It'll stir your soul. It'll change you. Change the way you think about some things. Men with hearts like David cry out, is there not a cause? I saw a video yesterday. It was a world war. Around this time of year, there's always a lot of stuff on television you can watch about war things. And it was about World War II fighter pilots. And this one guy, I'd never heard of him. His name is Francis Gabreski, G-A-B-R-E-S-K-I. Never heard of him, but he's has the record of shooting down more enemy planes in Europe than anyone else. He shot down 28 in Europe. He then lived and went on to serve in Korea and shot down four more. The interesting part of his story was this. He had been told, because he had reached such a high mark, that they were sending him back to the States. And he had a girlfriend, and they were making plans for him to get married just as soon as he got back. And so he wanted to come home, and he had his papers and was ready to leave. But that day, there was another mission going out, and he decided he wanted to go. And so he got in his plane, and he flew. He wasn't shot down, but he was strafing an enemy airfield, and he was coming in so low, and he was receiving ground fire and anti-aircraft explosions, and he was trying to get low enough where they couldn't get to him. And his son told a story, because he got it from his dad, that he was as low as he could get, he said, and he moved the stick forward just a tad more, just to get a little bit closer down. And he said the prop brushed the ground. It didn't cause him to crash right then, but you can well imagine, and of course the Errol being an aircraft mechanic would know better than any of us, that this is not a good thing. But he was able to gain some altitude and go on, but the plane was damaged enough that it crashed, and he had to bail out. And he spent the end of the war several years in a POW camp. But I just, when I heard that story, it stirs you of what men will do for valor, what they will do for freedom, what they would do for you and for me, what they will do. And that just amazed me. As it turns out, he didn't have the highest number of planes shot down. That was in Europe. But another guy by the name of Richard Bong, B-O-N-G, who fought in the Pacific, shot down 40 enemy planes. He was so good at it, he would shoot, every time he'd go up, he would shoot 3, 4, 5, and one day he shot down 6 enemy planes in one day. And he shot down 23 in a 6-day period. The wherewithal to do something like that. And they said one of the reasons he was so good at what he did, it was that he was such a bad shot with the plane. It's not an easy thing. It's not like today where you have radar and so forth. So he would get so close to them that he wouldn't miss. That was his plan. And as a result, he ended up shooting down 40 of them. It's sad to say that he actually died in combat. He actually was shot down at a later date. But it's called a freedom. It's a freedom to worship God, to help people be set free from sin, but to declare there's no king but King Jesus, and to maintain what God has given to us. So the second thing I want to talk to you about is that it's a time to remember is preserved through sacrifice. John 15, 12, and 13, probably one of the most notable scriptures that many people know, said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." And that's the most valuable thing that we possess is our life, and to be willing to give it for someone. People who give their lives for their children, people who give their lives for their spouse, people who give their lives for their mom and dad, and those who give their life for strangers. And that's what the military does. It gives their life for a stranger. Freedom has been founded and preserved by those who hate evil and love the ideals established for America. And there's a video that I want you to see from one of our favorite heroes, and that's Ronald Reagan. Jim?
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Bellowwood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Truckdown, who left his job in a small-town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading, "My Pledge," he had written these words: "America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone." We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
Sometimes I miss Ronnie. I told Pat one day, I said, "Where's Ronald?" Something terribly going on in the news. I said, "Where's Ronald Reagan when you need him?" And she said, "He served his time already. Just let him go." And there's a lot of truth in that. Someone was kind enough, the research department of New Beginnings Church, whoever that may be, just handed me something. I didn't even know who handed it to me. He was giving it over my shoulder. Taking Chance is not available to stream on Netflix. It is, however, available to stream free for Amazon Prime members, on Amazon. But you can also purchase it or rent it on Amazon, I'm sure. So thank you, whoever provided that for me. Were you the one, Karen? Thank you. America has a history of shedding its blood so others can go free. John Kennedy said this in January 1961. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, in order to assure the survival and the success of liberty. Those are great words to encourage us. You know, in today's environment, we have so many naysayers against what needs to be done. I'm very thankful that we have a president who's willing to stand up. And if there's a price to be paid, if there's a war to be fought, it's worth doing to preserve what we have. And I appreciate politicians who take it seriously and are willing to stand up and place the call of arms for us to do it. Pray God we never have to, but we should be ready to do so and be willing to do so if it comes another call to our generation. I've lived long enough to see too many wars. I'm a World War II baby. I was born, I can remember when they had blackouts and my mother would cover up the windows so that no light would escape because there was always a fear of enemy attack, even here in Louisiana. Fortunately, it never occurred. But, you know, one of the things we saw so vividly this morning was the fact that these places around the world where some of these cemeteries exist. I've never seen one other than on film. And just for curiosity's sake, have any of you ever been to any of the veterans memorials around the world? Anyone here? Where have you been, David?
Arlington.
At Arlington? Okay.
Pat?
Vietnam Memorial? Anyone else been?
You've
been to the World War II Museum in Gettysburg. Anybody else?
The Vietnam
War. All right. Anybody else? Jim, you haven't been to any in all your travels? I couldn't hear you. What did you say?
I just can't remember which one.
Okay, but you have seen some of the ones in Europe or, yeah, okay. Yes. Korea Memorial, right. You ought to put that on your agenda to do. Put it on your bucket list. At least go to Washington, D.C., and go to Arlington, and go to the Vietnam Memorial, the Korean Memorial, the last time I was there, they were building it, so I didn't get to see that. But it'll do something to you. It'll just do something to the inside of you. The Vietnam Memorial, particularly with its names on the wall.
George?
And it has what?
The
cemetery itself. You're right, yeah. Our government doesn't do a lot of things right, but one thing they do right is honoring our vets. And you're right, this is it's a beautiful place, and I know your brother's laid to rest there, and David's wife is laid to rest there, and I'm sure there are others. Yes, do that. I want to read something to you. I don't know where it's anonymous, so I don't know who wrote it, but it says this about a soldier's pay. He stands beside it as he swears his oath to serve. He lifts it up for comrades to view when a victory they've made. He marches neath the furrows back home in grateful cities on parade. He finally rests under its colors as he's placed gently in his grave. Oh, what an amazing collection of words and ideas and thoughts. So, a time to remember is honored and respected. Back to the original scripture we started with from 1 Peter chapter 2. It says so many great imperatives in it. Live as free men. We need to live as free men and honor the freedom that we have, and to not our freedom in Christ, but also our freedom as Americans. But don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. So just because you're free doesn't mean you can do whatever you want to do. And that's one of the things that I find detestable, is when the icons of our freedom, which is the cross, Jesus, God, the Bible, our icons of American freedom, our flag, our memorials, our statuary, those who think that they have the right to deface those things. I love it when every once in a while a patriot stands up and says, "You've gone too far," and stops it. There was just a couple of years ago now, some guy was protesting the American flag on a business he had, and he took it down and he raised the flag of Mexico. Well, a local vet decided that wasn't going to happen. So he went there, and somebody got a video of it. He didn't ask for a video. He just did it, and somebody got a video. He took the Mexican flag down, stomped on it, picked up the American flag, gently folded it in his arms, and he walked off. And I got to say, thank God and thank you for your patriotism and your willing to stand up. You know, there comes a time when you need to stand up and say something. You know, true patriots live worthy of the freedom that they've been given. It's not enough to say you're a patriot. It's not enough to say you're a Christian without standing up for what you believe. The silent majority is a bunch of losers, all right? And we've got enough losers. We need people to be bold in our faith and bold in our patriotism. And even if it seems insignificant, maybe it seems like nobody will know. I was so infuriated with the NFL this year, and I'm not over the top kind of jock who loves every ball game and knows all the scores and knows it. But I enjoy some games, and I enjoy watching an NFL game on the weekend. But I decided that I don't blame the players. I really don't, because they don't know any better. They've been raised in a school environment that's been detrimental to our freedom and our icons. But I blame the NFL and the owners of the NFL teams for allowing that to happen. So I just decided that I wouldn't look at any NFL games this year. Probably didn't make any difference in the world to anybody but me, but because when a game would come on and I'd be invited to go watch a game, I just said, nope, I'm not watching this year because of what they're allowing to happen. Well, as it turns out, about 9% of the watchers of NFL games did the same thing, and it hit them in the pocketbook, so they decided to do something about it, but I don't like what they did. What they said was that a player wouldn't be able to go out on the field and demonstrate during the national anthem, but they could stay in the locker room. That's a demonstration, too. You can try to cover it up. You can call it whatever you want. But any team that I see doing that, I wouldn't watch them. And I hadn't made up my mind whether I wouldn't watch any at all. And they said that they wouldn't fine the players, but they'd fine the teams. Now, I may have some of that wrong, but that's my understanding of what the NFL's plan is. I hope some team owners will stand up. I'll tell you what, when Vince Lombardi was coaching, that would have never happened on his team. I wrote a book called Instant Replay by Jerry Kramer. And Jerry Kramer told about, this is a story about Vince Lombardi. I didn't mean to tell it, but since I'm in that arena. There was a player who had decided his contract was up, and he would normally go in and negotiate with the coach. And the player went in or Lombardi called him into his office, just, you know, because his contract was up and was going to negotiate it. And the player said, Coach, I've got an agent, and you're going to need to talk to my agent and not talk to me because my agent's going to work out my contract. And Jerry Kramer writes in the book that Lombardi said, excuse me for just a minute. And he walked out, and he came back about 20 minutes later, and he sat down, and the player said, well, my agent's name is so-and-so. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, well, why don't you talk to, and he named the team, I just traded you. You're not on this team any longer, so your agent can talk to somebody else. I don't talk to agents. I talk to players. You know, and it's whether you agree with what Vince Lombardi did or not, it is a clear message of what some things you just can't do. So a true patriot has freedom in Christ that requires you to give honor and to remember what he has done. Always in touch by when we have communion, and we read that passage of Scripture that I'll read each time we do it, where Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. Remember me. And it's the remembrance of what he did so that you and I could be washed of our sins, could receive the righteousness of God, and be assured that when we leave this earth and they put our bodies in the ground or in a jar or wherever they do with your body, that our soul will be eternally saved. And we remember him, and more importantly, as he remembers us, okay? So, but the freedom America has been given requires us to preserve and to protect what we've received. And we need to be vocal, and we need, while I'm here, I hope this doesn't, I'm not talking to anybody in this room, but if I am, pay attention. When we had the mayor's race here in Slidell just recently, we had an outstanding almost 4,700 people who voted for in the mayor's election. That is pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. And the election was swayed by 80 votes. Now, the 80 votes doesn't bother me, but the lack of people who went out and voted. If you're a citizen of the United States of America, you need to be, number one, registered to vote, and number two, when the voting polls are open, get yourself to that voting place and vote. And anybody who disagrees with that can meet me in the yard behind the church building afterwards, all right? And you'll see what a mean, mad 78-year-old guy can do to you. Man, woman, boy, or girl, doesn't make any difference. And don't ever, if you haven't done those two things, don't ever come up to me and voice your political opinion about anything. Because I'm not interested in anything you've got to say. Because your not voting speaks louder than the words and the way that you feel. We have a responsibility to vote. You have a duty to vote, and you need to vote. You know, at one time it was you didn't have the early voting. Now there's no excuse. You pretty much know if you're going to be out of town because the early voting is long enough for you to get there. I've only missed one presidential voting in my life. And the reason I didn't vote was my brother-in-law, Pat's brother, died. And it was during the election, the presidential election, and we went to his funeral up in Indiana, and I couldn't vote. There was no voting, early voting available. It was just so quick we had to go. I don't remember who I voted for in all those presidential elections, but I remember the one I didn't vote in. It's important that we do it. And you need to encourage your children, your grandchildren, your sons, your daughters, your friends, and everyone you know, and ask them that question. Are you registered to vote? And did you vote in the last election? And if any one of those questions are new or no, find yourself a new family and find yourself some new friends. Or get them to do it. Encourage them. It needs to be done. We have laid on the sidelines and not done what we're supposed to do. And we need to do something about it. That's the sermon for today. but I'm not finished. We're to live together as we were established by God. I was back here talking about imperatives that live as servants of God. Live together in harmony. You know, it befuddles me why we have war in churches. Why we fight about silly, useless things. People get their backs all bowed up because something didn't go the way they wanted it to go. Now, I'm not talking to this group so much as I'm talking about churches in general. We ought to live together in harmony, get along. Well, I don't go to that church because of what they said. What did they say? They said they wanted blue carpet instead of red. You know? Usually you have first church or someplace, and then in that same town you will find Harmony Church and Unity Church. I promise you, in every case you find a Unity or Harmony Church, they split off from another church. Because they couldn't get along. Living together as servants of God. Show proper respect for everyone. Don't look at people in the church or look at your as your enemy. These are born-again people of God. And we need to start looking at each other as Americans, and the brotherhood of America. The schism is so wide, I don't know that it can ever be corrected. It'll take God or a massive war or both probably to get us back on the same page where we belong. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. Live together as if we really were one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We need to stop being so hateful. I'm guilty of this. I got to tell you, I'm guilty. I get bent out of shape at some of the things that happen. But I try to control myself, and I'm working as hard as I can to rectify the issue. I'm speaking out publicly from this pulpit, but this isn't the only pulpit I have. In the other places I am, I've got the same sermons that I speak to as many people as I possibly can. Take time this weekend to remember those who have served. Honor our flag because others died to give you that flag. During the, I think it was the liberation of Kuwait, I believe it where it was, one of the countries that we were flying out of said that we couldn't have the American flag raised in that country. If it had been me, I'd have taken my arms and left. But we didn't. But I love the American spirit. Somebody got an American flag and tied it to hooked it to a pole some kind of way right by the airfield where the guys were taking off. And they had videos of the military. And this must be a tradition. I've not been in the Air Force. Well, I was in the Air Force, but it was ROTC. They didn't give us planes. They just made us march. And the guy saluted the flag. He could turn over. He saw where the flag was. He saluted the flag. He turned and he saluted the guy on the ground who was giving him the signal to take off. And he took off. And I thought, that's the way to do it. If they tell you you can't do it, just do it anyway. You know, if somebody said, well, you can't have a flag in your subdivision, I'd get a pole put down so deep they couldn't get it out, and I'd raise a flag so high they'd have to put lights on it so the other planes didn't hit it when they flew by. But nobody would ever tell me I couldn't put up the American flag in any place that I was ever in. So that's honoring, remembering, standing up, and having some, I think of the right word here, having some internal fortitude about what you believe. That's a nice version of what really went through my mind. Some of you know what it is. We must ensure that America is still here for those who come behind us. There's no plan B here, folks. There won't be a church and there won't be an America if we don't do our job. It's tenuous. You don't believe that? Go read the history books. See how many of the old nations you can find. How many of them have disappeared? The one shining light in it all is Israel, who's been here the longest. America is not so strong that she can't fall if she forgets who she is. It's our watch, and we must never stop fighting. One of my great heroes of World War II is Churchill, when he gave that stirring speech to a military class, and he said, never, never give up. Never give up. It's our duty, and we can never give up, and we must never stop fighting for the freedom that so many paid so that we could be here today. I want to close with two things. I'm going to show you one last video, and it's titled, This is a Soldier. And as soon as that's finished, I want Ro to be ready, and we're going to sing God Bless America as we close. And that'll be our closing prayer. And so let me say here that if the services are over, if you need prayer, I'll be glad to pray for you. But Jim, if you'll just crank up the video.
This is a soldier. When our country needed them, they stepped forward from the crowd, and then they looked back at us and said, I will protect you. This is a soldier. They said, I'll do it, whether it's my boots in the mud, my charter in the sea, or my eyes in the sky. I'll go on your behalf. I'll stand shoulder to shoulder with your brother, with your sister. I will laugh with him. I will cry with him. I will fight with him. I will even die with them. This is a soldier. So they cut their hair. They changed their names. They took their orders. They got up at 4, stayed up till 12. The next day, they ran. They sweat. They pushed. They hauled. They marched. They yelled. They served. They beat their chest. They stood in our place. This is a soldier. They sacrificed. Sometimes their lives cut short in the name of the red, white, and blue. Lives cut short because our freedoms depend on it. This is a soldier. So today, we, the church, honor you. You who are left behind. The church, so we care for the widows and orphans. We are the church, so we honor those who have fallen in service. And honor to you, widows and orphans of war. Honor to you, the mothers and fathers who battle on. Honor greatest of sacrifices. May God bless you. And may God bless America.
God bless America. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, fight with God bless America.
Amen. That's it. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Have a good weekend.